Well, good morning. I want to welcome each of you to our time of preaching this morning. And before the sermon, I want to just announce our upcoming men's and women's conference this month. It's going to be an exciting time. We're really looking forward to it. If you desire to sign up, the virtual conference, just go to a Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church Bartow Facebook or either our website, www.mygoodhope.org, for information and contact. If you're interested in signing up for that retreat, we hope that you will. Also, we want to say congratulations to Sister Barbara Riley and the Riley family. Brother Ken Riley was selected to the Bengals Inaugural Ring of Honor class, and the family was out for that celebration. And we're just so delighted for this honor for the family in honor of Brother Riley posthumously. And we're just so grateful. As you know, Brother Riley was a dedicated member of the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and we all loved him and missed him as he has gone to be with the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for another day to worship you, to preach, to praise your name, to celebrate communion. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit now will speak to us through your word. May you be glorified and your people blessed. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scripture text for today is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And from these verses, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Today, I want to preach from the subject, developing your peace. And my aim and my hope is that you will receive something from this word today that will help you develop your peace at a more deeper level. In today's scripture reading, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his physical departure. He has been with them 3 years. He's preached and taught them and led them. And now he's preparing for his death, burial, and his resurrection and his ultimate ascension back to heaven. So he says, as part of his preparation time with his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The reason Jesus said what he said to his disciples in preparing them for his departure is that he knew that the world would be a changing and a challenging place. The world would be a place filled, even in those days, with racism, sexism, ageism, and ableism, and a host of other ungodly ways people have of relating to one another. Jesus knew that his disciples would be in a very hateful and hideous and hostile environment, a place where they would need to be assured of his peace, his presence. He had talked to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and thus they would have his peace and his presence with them at all times. They would have his peace and presence with them at all times. Now, it's interesting that the disciples were not called and commissioned by Jesus to lead obscure or aloof lives. They were not to be exempt from the stresses and the strains of life. Rather, Jesus required them to be on the front line of their communities, be on the front line of their society, and even be on the front line of the world. The world would be a place where these followers of Jesus Christ would battle against the forces of evil. And for such intimidating tasks, they needed the peace that only Jesus could give them. Because in reality, the peace that Jesus gives is the only peace that can hold us steady. The only peace that can hold us steady amid the chaos, the confusion, and the conflict of the world. The Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. It means wholeness and soundness. Shalom means prosperity in the spiritual sense of having a soul that blossoms and flourishes even during times of adversity. It is the tranquility of mind. It is the composure that we have in the face of bad circumstances and situations. It is the contentment of being or standing independent of conditions and our environment. It is having contentment. It is having contentment that's not dependent upon or predicated upon our environment or our conditions. Shalom, or peace, is having inner serenity. That's what Jesus is talking about. I'm going to give you inner serenity. It's calmness or composure which no danger or sorrow or suffering can take away. Now the world is drastically and dramatically looking for peace. The world is trying to find this shalom peace, this peace that Jesus is talking about. The world is seeking peace through pleasure, through self-satisfaction, through self-gratification, through gaining more power, more privileges, more popularity, and even seeking peace through the accumulation of more stuff. They will never find with that the true and lasting peace. The world will never find true and lasting peace apart from a genuine, a real, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. So it is Jesus has promised peace to those who love him. Peace to those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Peace to those who have committed their lives to following him. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then the words of this text apply to you. Jesus has given you his peace. Yet those of us who love him, those of us who follow him, those of us who trust him, those of us who worship him must constantly cultivate, constantly develop the peace that Jesus gives. Let me say that again. Although we love him, although we follow him, although he has given us his peace initially, it is up to us to cultivate, to develop the peace that Jesus has given. Look at it this way. God gives the gift of new life through childbirth. Whenever a baby is born, that is God's gift of new life. Yet when a baby is born, he or she is not left alone. When a baby is born, he or she must be nourished. He or she must be nurtured. He or she must be cultivated. He or she must be developed in order to reach his or her maximum potential. That's how it is with peace. We must cultivate our peace. We must nurture our peace. We must develop our peace in order for our peace to be deep and to be rich and to be profitable and to be beneficial to us, particularly in these troubling and turbulent times. So the question is, how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we cultivate? How do we nurture our peace? How do we develop this peace within that we so desperately need? Well,
Let's look at four ways. First, we develop peace by loving God's word. That's right, that's right. First, we develop the peace that Jesus has given us by loving, embracing, caring about, treasuring God's word in our lives. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:65, listen carefully, great peace have those who love your law or love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Did you get that? Did you make the connection between the peace that we have and the love of God's word? The psalmist says, great is the peace of those who love the word of God, and nothing causes them to stumble. Thus we find that a deep, abiding love, a genuine appreciation for the word of God develops our peace. I'm very thankful to God for the members of our Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church family who have made the commitment and accepted the challenge of reading through the one-year Bible. This is our second year of reading through the Bible, 365 days a year, verse by verse. We've been reading through the Bible on the same scriptures, meditating, praying, and meeting in groups to discuss what we have read. I'm very grateful for that. And in so doing, and by reading through the word of God, the level of our peace personally and as a church family has grown tremendously. We're living in times of challenge and change. Yet God keeps on increasing our peace level. Our roots, our peace roots are going deeper. Our peace anchor is growing wider, larger, bigger. God keeps on increasing our peace levels as we read his word and love his word and love his word and read his word more and more. In his word, he's telling us that in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, John 16:3. There's a lot of peace in that. Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulations, but here's the peace. I have overcome the world. His word is telling us amid the worldwide pandemic, the Delta variant, the mask and social distances, his word is telling us, in light of these vaccinations and booster shots, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is peace in the word of God. His word keeps on telling us, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. How is that for gaining peace from the word of God? Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us, as we love God's word, as we read God's word, that God has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. He has a plan for his church universal. There's peace in knowing that God has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us hope and a future. There's peace in knowing that in God we have hope and we have a future, a great future, a bright future. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, when we love God's word, expressed in 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That brings us great peace, Many of us have lost loved ones during the pandemic, but as we read the word, as we love the word, God provides peace through the word for us. So it is when we love God's word, expressed by our daily commitment to reading God's word, we can't help but have peace. You see, the reading of God's word, the commitment to God's word, is a demonstration, to us and those around us that we have a love, an intense love for God's word. And so God's word teaches us that when we love God's word, we'll have peace. If you want your peace to grow more intense, then develop a love for the word of God by reading the word of God, by saturating your mind with the word of God, by marinating in the word of God each and every day. Second, we develop peace by having a strong and vital prayer life. We develop peace by praying about everything. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. That word in the text means don't worry. Don't worry. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. See that? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, watch that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see the connection? The connection is between praying about everything and peace. Now, when Paul wrote these words to the church at Caesarea Philippi, he had already been through some gut-wrenching, agonizing experiences. He was not some superficial ministerial candidate. Paul's not this upstart in ministry. No, Paul at this point in his life, when he's writing to the church at Caesarea Philippi about developing their level of peace, he is a seasoned veteran in the army of the Lord. Paul is a seasoned saint now who knew, as we used to say back home, he knew the words of prayer and he knew the worth of prayer. Paul knew the supernatural peace that prayer provided. When he wrote this, he knew of, from experience, the supernatural peace that God provides when we pray. Listen to some of the sufferings of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. Paul wrote, from the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one, do the math. Paul wrote, 3 times I was beaten. I was beaten with rods. Here's a man who is talking about peace through prayer after having been beaten 3 times with rods. Paul goes on in this resume of suffering. Once I was stoned. When a person was stoned, they were intended to be killed. That was the purpose of stoning. They just didn't stone people to hurt people or to punish people. Stoning was a way of execution. And yet Paul had peace. Although he had been stoned, God brought him out. Paul now is writing about the peace that came through prayer. He says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. And you've been reading through your Bibles. You read the story of Paul being shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And when he got there, they were gathering firewood. And as they gathered firewood, a poisonous snake fastened itself to Paul. And the natives thought that he was dead for sure. And yet Paul shook him off. So when Paul talked about and wrote about peace, he was talking from personal experience. Paul says, three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, Paul said in perils, he didn't go into details, he just said in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the sea, in perils in the city and in the sea, and among false brethren. Paul went on to say, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, and I was often hungry, I was often thirsty, fasting, I was cold and without clothing. That's what he's talking about. This man is talking about the peace. He's not a guy that has lived in an Eiffel Tower. He's not a guy that has lived a life of ease. He's not a guy that has practiced easy believism. No, he's a guy who had suffered. He had been through some things. He says, besides all of the other issues I deal with daily, all the other strains, all of the hardships, all of the issues I've been through daily, Paul says, I have concern for the congregations I serve. The testimony of Paul's toils and trials and troubles. Toils, trials, and troubles. Tells of a peace that accompanies one who takes everything to God in prayer. That's why he could say, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't upset yourself, just pray and thank God, and then the supernatural, unexplainable peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. You see, God did not promise his people a life in the fairy tale land of ease. He didn't promise us life in the fairy tale land of ease. But he did promise that if we bathe our conditions, watch me now, if we bathe our cares, if we bathe our concerns in prayer, he will provide us with peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what he promised. Forget about the easy believism. Forget about if you are a Christian, if you are saved, if you pay your tithe, if you dot the I's and cross the T's, you'll never have any grief. You'll never have any pain. You'll never have any disappointments. You'll never have any doubt. Forget about that. That's not biblical theology. Biblical theology says, through the words of Paul and others, if we bathe our condition, if we bathe our cares, if we bathe our concerns in prayer, that God will provide us with peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that will guard our minds. The picture here is a picture of soldiers that guard guard their camps, guard the place where they are, and that God's their equipment. God said he will give us peace that will guard our minds and our hearts. Hymn poet Joseph C. Scrivens had it right when he wrote the words, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, we should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. But this verse, I like this verse. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. That's what Scrivens says. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We often give up. We often miss out on. Oh, what needless cares we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We should never be discouraged. Scripture says, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Third, we develop peace by staying our minds on God. Staying our minds on God. Isaiah 26:3 states, it's talking about God. You will keep him in perfect peace. Don't miss that. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Isaiah points out that the way to have perfect peace is to have a thought process that is constantly God-focused. A mentality that is constantly God-fixated. And a mind that is continuously God-firm. That's worth saying again. Here it is, y'all. The way to have perfect peace is to have a thought process that is consistently God-focused. In other words, in spite of all of the things that we hear, see, and read, our minds are consistently focused on God. Have a mentality that's constantly God-fixated. And a mindset that is continuously God-firm. Isaiah would have us know that such yielding of our minds to the vision, the virtues, and the values of God is indicative of our trust in his sovereign rulership in and over our lives. In other words, when our minds are constantly fixed upon God, it is indicative, it is a barometer that measures the reality of our trust in his sovereign rulership in, through, and over our lives. Thus, where God rules, his perfect peace resides. That's what Isaiah is saying. If God is ruling your thought process and saying God is ruling your life, then his perfect peace will be yours. Fourth, we develop peace by our obedience to God. That's right. Peace comes as a direct relationship to our being obedient to God. When we obey God, God grants us his peace. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The point of verse 9 is this. Paul is encouraging the church to follow his example of obedience to the word of God. In essence, he says, you have learned the truth of God's word from me. You've learned from my preaching. You've learned from my teaching. You have seen me live out what I preach and taught. You have watched me live in obedience to God. So I want you to put into practice what you have learned, what you have heard me preach, and what you have learned from my teaching. I want you to put it into practice. And if you do that, God's peace will be yours. You see, the reality is that real peace, I'm not talking about this superficial stuff, this make-believe, this temporary stuff. I'm talking about real peace, lasting peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, only comes as a result of a life obedient to God. When I'm walking in the will of God, when I'm walking in the word of God, when I'm walking in the way of God, I have peace irregardless of how things look or even how things turn out. God give supernatural peace. Picture, if you will, a massive hurricane raging over the sea. And those of us who live in Florida know that what it's like to be in a hurricane. Just some few years ago, my wife and I were over on the island of St. John when one of the most vicious hurricanes hit that island, and we saw homes destroyed. We saw people's furniture and clothing screwed out on the streets. I stood in a food line sponsored by the military there to get water and to get food. We know what it's like, many of us, to witness a storm. So picture a massive hurricane raging over the sea. On the surface of the sea, violent winds whip the water into giant waves that wreak havoc on the surface of the sea. Yet research tells us, this is amazing, y'all, that just 25 feet below the surface, the water is clear and calm. Isn't that amazing? That on the surface there is a whipping of the waves, there is turmoil, but 25 feet below the surface, there's calm and there's clarity. The fish there go on living, swimming totally undisturbed by the raging turmoil just above them. Imagine that. The reality is, where there is depth, where there is deepness, there is peace. I want you to see that connection. Where there is depth, where there is deepness, there is peace. So it is in the Christian life. I want you to get this. Where there is depth to our worship, there is peace. When there is depth to our reading and understanding the word of God, there is peace. Where there is depth to our prayer life, our silence and solitude, when we get alone with God for a while, away from the telephone, away from the computer, away from human voices, where we listen to God intently, where we dialogue with God, there is peace. Where there's depth to our prayer lives, there's peace. And then when there is depth, where there is deepness to our minds being stayed on Jesus, and there's so many things that compete for our mind's sake and for our attention, but when our minds are consistently and persistently on Jesus, there's peace. And when our depth of obedience to God is there, we'll have peace. So here's the takeaway. The world in which we live is challenging and changing. It's unstable and unsettling. It's chaotic. It's confusing. It's strife-filled and it's stressful. Yet God has made peace possible. God has made peace available. And God has made peace a reality for everyone who places their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross to save you from your sins. For by grace and faith you are saved, not works, lest anyone can boast. Jesus died to save you. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. It's a free gift to all who will accept him.
He rose from the grave with all power given unto him. And in him, by him, and through him, we can have peace, even in this world filled with chaos and confusion. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't know the peace that I'm talking about today. But you can have that peace. You can have it through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may want to just say something like this: Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. My life is in shambles. My life is in turmoil. I can't find no peace in my education, in my job, in my relationship. And I have heard today through your word that peace comes through knowing you. So today I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me. If you said those words or something similar in sincerity to God, He saved you. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. And I want to encourage you to continue to join with us here in the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church virtually right now. Just go to our Facebook page, our church website, and you can find out about the wonderful things that we're doing, our reading through the Bible. You can join that anytime. You can be with us, our retreats, our Bible studies, our prayer meetings. We invite you to join with us. But if God leads you someplace else, we encourage you to connect with a Bible-believing church someplace where you can grow in your faith. We're going to prepare now for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Philippians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. Paul wrote, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ, let us eat together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. Receive now the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ always be gracious unto you, and may he grant you his peace in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again on next week.